Guilty Movie Pleasure fans, prime meat, get your prime meat, because today on Guilty Movie Pleasures, we're covering Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. Yee-hoo!
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Guilty Movie Pleasure.
Oh yeah, Dangle Scoot and Pooter Snatch had the Hoot and Scoot. That's a band that I made up in college. Me and my buddy Craig Sorry. Shout out to Craig Sorry.
What up, Craig Sorry?
Dingle Scoot and Pooter Snatch.
He's not sorry about that.
At the Hoot and Scoot. This weekend only at the Hoot and Scoot from 10 p.m. to midnight.
Only this weekend? You guys haven't gotten booked yeah. more
He's
than
Dingle
this
Scoot. I'm Pooter Snatch.
All right. So I'm glad
the
you
more I say it, the worse it sounds.
No, the better.
Holy shit. Okay. I'm going to preface this entire show with that I had never seen Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, and I had been recommended by several horror film fanatics that I trust.
That you've currently now blocked from your Facebook
That I've now blocked on Facebook. No, so I didn't know what I was in for, and So if you do love this movie, know that I love at least 60% of this movie for how ridiculous it is. Mm. 70. I'll give it 70%. And then 30%, I fucking thought I was going to pull my hair out. But we'll get into that. This movie is definitely, in my opinion, the epitome of a guilty movie pleasure, where you watch this and you're just like, what the fuck is going on? I got Jesse McIntosh in the house
again. Here I am. What's
going
on, everyone?
Hey, sorry. Jesse, say hi to everybody.
Hi, everybody. It's me, Jesse.
It's Jesse. He's back.
I share similar opinions to Ben, but the math is slightly different.
Yeah.
That's all.
What's your math? What's your love to hate ratio on this?
It's about 90-10, and we're going to find out which way we're at with 90, which way we're at with 10 in just a little bit.
I would like to say, sorry, before we get started, I just want to read the text messages I got from Jesse
yes,
McIntosh.
Please.
Where the first one
we
was...
Let me just also say, we usually are not in communication while we're watching the films.
No.
We like to do it separately, and we like to show up to set with fresh minds, fresh perspectives, so we can surprise each other. But this one, I couldn't contain myself.
Your first one was, I'm an hour in, gonna have to finish it after work, but I've already audibly said to myself a few times, what the actual fuck?
Mm-hmm. By myself in my house, just staring at my computer. What the actual fuck?
The same thing happened to me when I was watching it. Renee went to sleep and I put headphones on, and I'm sitting there in my living room alone at like midnight on Monday night, just like, what?
Yeah.
What the shit?
Yeah, yeah.
And then you followed it up with, oh no, he just put the face on her. WTF. Oh, we'll get to what he just put the face on her.
He just put the face on her.
So, like I said, I'd never seen this movie. I actually hadn't seen the original Texas Chainsaw until a couple years ago. You've never seen it.
I've never seen it, no.
I understand where the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and this even, if you had seen it at the time it came out, you'd be like, holy shit. Because watching this, I see where filmmakers like Rob Zombie steal from. Like, this feels like a very 80s lo-fi Devil's Rejects type of movie,
yeah, so,
or House of a Thousand Corpses.
So I tried to watch it through the glasses of like putting myself in the context of the time and like what
it's still really difficult.
It's so tough, and like I tried to justify it, like would I have been enjoying this if this was like the first horror film that I'd maybe seen or like that
would
I'd
you just
followed
bail
it up?
On the genre?
Yeah, I don't. I really honestly don't know. Like there were a couple moments like when he comes out and we can get deep into this in a moment, but like when he comes out and he wins the chili cook-off or whatever.
Hilarious.
And he like goes into how keen of an eye he has for prime meat. Like obviously, and I'm not patting myself on the back for this, we've all been trained to be like, oh, that's the guy.
Yeah.
He's the guy. He puts human meat. But I just wondered, like, were people
savvy
hip to this
when they were
watching it?
If you'd seen the first one, they have chairs made out of human skeletons.
Yeah.
They're clearly eating people. Can we play the prime? What clip is it? It's the
prime meat
clip.
This year, Drayton, you've got to tell the secret of that fabulously tasty chili.
No secret. It's the meat. Don't skimp on the meat. I got a real good eye for prime meat. Runs in the family. Whoop. It's one of those hard-shelled peppercorns.
She clearly, if you can pull out just the prime meat thing, Zach, for later in the show, if not, no worries. When she bites on something, she clearly pulls out a human tooth.
Yeah.
And he's like, whoop, just a peppercorn. So this the first movie at the time was one of the most violent. That and Bonnie and Clyde were like the two most violent movies that had ever been seen. Nobody had done that kind of raw, gritty. And Tobe Hooper has this kind of, in Texas Chainsaw 1, this kind of very grindhouse, not even grindhouse, it's just this grimy filmmaking style that makes you feel like you're watching this happen to real people, not actors.
Right. And so that's sort of what I expected because, and maybe it just like the reboots, just the previews that I've seen of the reboots, makes it feel a lot more gritty and like using a chainsaw to kill someone is a very intimate way to kill someone.
In this movie, he barely does it.
He waves it around and he's a clown.
If you want to play a great drinking game, play a drinking game every time Leatherface raises the chainsaw and does the truffle shuffle and goes.
I think Leatherface just loves to dance. I think that's what we learned through.
Leatherface just he's just looking for a nice Texas radio girl named Stretch.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, the radio DJ's name, who's the lead heroine in this, her name is Stretch.
Stretch, and then
Lefty.
Lefty, and then he calls her Sister, right?
Sister. Super weird. We'll get into all of that. We're jumping around.
Boy,
so
oh boy.
This movie, it was marketed. It was supposed to be a very dark comedy because I was watching the behind the scenes, and the first one was the shocking, gritty horror film, and you have the primate. Okay, I don't know why I stopped the show to read that. I thought he was going to tell me. All right, we'll get into that primate.
Ben's working on reading. That's his goal of the week.
I'm working on it.
Learn words.
I got a real good eye for primate.
Boom.
Run the family.
Actually, I was at Whole Foods the other day.
Yeah,
they're really snooty about their meat there. And I was just like, hey, is this beef grass-fed? Is it, you know, no hormones, anything like that? You know, you're not feeding cows to other cows or anything disgusting like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy from the behind the counter just looked at me and said,
I got a real good eye for prime meat. Runs in the family.
He was murdering a woman behind us.
She's just making sounds, and you're like, oh yeah, I just want that.
Somebody,
corn
no, fed. It was a woman eating candy corn next to me, but it was like stale.
Classic.
From last year. So
yeah.
She's like, this is really tough candy corn.
You gotta buy it when it's on sale in November. I was at
and then eat it by January.
Eat it later. I was at a screening. For a new film. I don't even remember what it was. That's how bad it was.
It
was Texas Chainsaw 3, probably. And the all the actors like lined up, and it was a weird situation because like they were letting audience members come by and like shake hands, and just say hi. And at the end of the line, out of nowhere, walked President Obama. He just showed up.
That's amazing. And he was probably doing Jimmy Kimmel.
Probably, yeah. He was in town for some entertainment reason. But my friend went by and they shook Obama's hand, and in my head, I'm like, he just got to meet President Obama. And I pulled him aside and I said to him,
I got a real good eye for prime
meeting him.
Runs the family.
Yep.
You know, I don't want to get too political because you just did, but they released more of the Donald Trump Billy Bush tape.
They did not.
They did.
Oh my God.
They did. And he started to refer to women as livestock, started to refer to them as all kinds of disgusting things. But the tip of the iceberg was when Billy Bush chimed in and said,
I got a real good eye for prime meat. Runs in the family.
That was actually, he also said that in a snippet with an interview with Jennifer Lopez. So wasn't behind closed doors. That was
on air.
That was
they
both.
All knew.
All right, let's move on. So let's get into what this movie, you're probably wondering, we've been talking about this for about 10 minutes now and you don't know what this movie is about. Well, we watched an hour and 40 minutes of it and I still don't know what it's
really
about.
Couldn't really tell you.
It's basically five really long scenes.
It really is, like when you break it down.
Yeah. Five super long scenes. We're going to try and do the summary of this movie in 3 minutes. Are we ready in the booth, Zach? Yes?
Let's do it.
3, 2, 1. So we open up with this super creepy voiceover that's like in 1973. There were all these kids that were killed and these chainsaw murders. They've been happening all over Texas, but the cops can't find any murderers. They don't know what's going on, but it's haunted us ever since.
They can't find any facts.
They can't
that
find
was my
any
favorite.
Facts.
No facts.
Any facts. Kind of like a political candidate. Yeah. Anyways, moving on. So then we get introduced to this radio DJ named Stretch with these two kind of douchebag college guys that are just clearly looking to roofie girls.
And just firing off guns.
Shooting
just driving
guns
through the Texas countryside, firing off guns into signs
and
like you do.
Hey, we're looking for girls. We're looking for titties, yeah! And she's like, hang up, hang up, hang up. Apparently, they don't know how to hang up phones
on
the radio.
Can't hang up phones.
And then Leatherface in this truck, but with this weird, like, puppet skeleton creature come by, and they start, like, doing this really long chase sequence, and then he saws the dude's head off, it crashes, and you're like, oh, shit, this is gonna be an awesome movie. Then what happens?
They get it all on tape. So the radio station has everything on tape. The Dennis Hopper shows up, and he starts investigating, and we learn that he has a history with these people. He's been hunting these people for 14 years. The radio DJ Stretch shows up to his hotel, I guess, and she's like, I want to help. I have these tapes.
I don't know
Listen
how.
Listen to these tapes. How can I help? And he's like, get out of here. I'm
get
a lone wolf.
Go back with all those partying guys in cowboy hats that are here for the college party, and they all are 35 years old.
Yep, and then he immediately does a 180. He
really
goes
cool.
He goes and buys chainsaws. He shows up to her radio station, I think. Yeah. And he's like...
Before that, though, we're introduced to Drayton again, the father of the chainsaw,
yes.
The Sawyers, mm-hmm. And he's with his chili, and he's like, and we already played that sound clip, where it's like, prime meat, and then he gets in the car, he hears it on the radio, and he's like, you fudge packers are gonna kill me, he calls his sons that's not my words, that's what he says,
yeah.
And then he turns around, they're like, we gotta do something about it, so Dennis Hopper shows up, says, hey, let's do this, and then he leaves, and then she's there late at night, TG leaves her radio DJ host person, and what happens then?
So then she hears a noise
a
down in the so she goes to check it out, and the crazy brother, Leatherface's brother,
I forget his name too,
but he's itching his head.
Bill Moseley's character.
He's itching his head with a coat hanger.
That keeps lighting. Oh god, we have 54 seconds.
Oh shit. And so he like creeps her out for a while, like she hangs out, and then Leatherface comes through the door, freaks her out.
There's a really long sequence where he's holding the chainsaw up to her crotch, and it gets real rapey. And then eventually he decides, oh, I'm not going to kill her. Oh, 30 seconds, here goes. He says he's not going to kill her. He goes back in. He says, yeah, I took care of her. They leave.
They get LG.
They kill LG. Yeah, they bash LG like 75 times.
Yeah, yeah.
Then the rest of the movie is literally Dennis Hopper shows up. They go to the... They follow each other. He was using her as bait. They end up in the tunnels where the Sawyers
they
live and they
LG's
make their meat.
They put LG's face on her.
They take LG's face off. He helps her get free. They fight a bunch in the tunnels.
Dance.
Dennis Hopper chops down a bunch of logs, and then the thing falls in. There's a grenade that blows up, and then she kills Bill Moseley's character.
There's a chainsaw fight.
And she's swinging around. Yeah, him and Leatherface chainsaw, and then she's swinging it.
She throws him off.
It ends. Jesus.
Okay, so if that last 30 seconds where we covered the last two-thirds of the movie felt chaotic... It's because nothing really happened.
For 40 minutes.
We were just sort of like with them, and they were all doing nothing.
Let's get into this, because we have 30 minutes to really... first off, this movie, like I said, I love and hate this movie at the same time, because it is... There's some hilarious shit in it. Like, the beginning, I'm just like, why are these two college yuppies... And that's what I watched in the behind the scenes. The first one, they're killing hippies. The second one, they're killing the more yuppies of the 80s. So it was kind of a commentary on the generation at that time.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually a couple deleted scenes where they just chainsaw the shit out of this whole group of yuppies that are partying. And, like, limbs are flying. It's awesome. I'm like, why wasn't that in there?
This is the set. We did this with Event Horizon 2. Why did they take these scenes out that, like, provided perfect context for what the film tonally should have been?
Yes.
And whatever message they were trying to say.
Super frustrating.
Yeah. So, I mean, that would have made a ton of sense to have, A, more chainsaws in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and B, if they were making a commentary on the youth of the day.
Kill more youth.
Kill more of those people.
Have more youth in there except for one DJ.
Yeah.
That's it. So in the beginning, though, when it starts off, there are these two guys driving around shooting mailboxes and signs with their little revolver, and he has these stupid hologram glasses on, and they call up the radio station, and right away you know they're D-bags and they deserve to die because they say what they're looking for. Can we play the Bright Lights, Big Titties clip, please?
He wants to hear Bright Lights, Big Titties.
Wrong. I don't want to hear it. I want to see it. Bright Lights, Big Titties.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Everything about those guys.
Yeah.
If I had a friend who ever said that, I'm pretty sure they would get defriended immediately. Like, that's...
I mean, what if you're road tripping with him through Texas?
And you can't.
You're stuck with him.
You can't unfriend him then.
No, you can't.
Bright Lights, Big Titties. It's weird. I don't know if you knew this. There was back in the silent film era,
mm-hmm.
When when Charlie Chaplin was doing City Lights, they were doing porn parodies of movies back then, even. And I know they didn't have sound, but the title card came up for one of them, and I would assume that the person would maybe sound like this when the porn parody of City Lights came up.
Well, this is for Rick the Pimp. He wants to hear Bright Lights, Big Titties.
Wrong. I don't want to hear it. I want to see it. Bright Lights, Big Titties.
I wouldn't mind seeing the Charlie Chaplin porn parody Bright Lights, Big Titties.
Who wouldn't want to see that?
I mean, it's got to have at least some fun slapstick.
I would enjoy it.
Some pratfalls into sexual positions.
Yeah.
Some slapstick. Slapping the stick. Oh my God.
I was volunteering with a first grade class, and I was teaching them different like different senses, like how to describe different senses. Mm-hmm. So I was like taste. I was like feel. And then
because in first grade they don't know their senses
not
yet.
Yes, at this particular school they were behind a little bit, and so that's why they need volunteers, because the teachers weren't getting it done. Ben,
okay,
we need to fund our public schools.
I'm sorry, you're right, I apologize.
Watch the debate tonight, folks.
I will be.
But so I was teaching them the difference between the different senses, and I was giving them examples as to how you would use each sense in a sentence. And the example that I gave was
Bright Lights, Big Titties.
Well, yeah.
Something like that. Yeah.
What I said was I want to hear it, and then the first grader was like, "No, you want to
see it."
And I was like, "Well done. Well done, first grader."
Well done.
Really
wish
well
I could
done.
Say the same for Zach. How dare you? I'm kidding, Zach. You get you know, we pay for what we get here. That's why I'm late every week.
There you have it.
I love you, Zach.
What? If you're not careful.
I got a real good eye for prime.
Yes!
For brunch of the family.
Might be lean on you, Begley.
I love it. You know I'm just kidding with you. So the sequence where... Okay, when Leatherface shows up on the bridge, they drive in this pickup truck, and instead of Leatherface just being Leatherface, which is creepy enough, he has a sheet over him with this weird skeleton puppet, which I assume is a real corpse or supposed to be.
Yeah.
And it's like bobbing around and dancing, and they're sawing through the truck, their car, on the world's longest bridge.
Yeah, the two-lane bridge.
Why didn't the guys ever slam on their brakes and turn
around?
That's
what I was thinking the entire time.
The entire time they're just like, oh, shit! Whoa!
I mean, to be fair, this was like, and we talked about it a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, the beginning of this movie sets it up to be a different movie than actually is.
You think it's going to be an awesome slasher?
So this is kind of cool, the way they're driving, and Leatherface is... Leatherface.
Pinhead is from Hellraiser.
But so they're driving in reverse, and they're driving right next to it, and neither one of them can really break away. And then, like you said, the puppet. But the puppet comes back later. Doesn't the brother have
It's like a
doll that he's...
It's basically a corpse puppet they've made.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
Yeah, so this is an ongoing theme. But they have it, and the guy gets a shot off onto him, and he hits the puppet.
Yeah.
And then Leatherface reveals himself. Because
the puppet's bulletproof?
I guess, yeah. It's a handy property in a puppet.
Here's the thing. Leatherface has always scared me in concept. But in these movies, he's not that, especially this, he's a buffoon. Every time, he's really bad with a chainsaw in this movie.
Yeah.
Every time he goes to kill someone, he hits like a ceiling fan, he gets tangled up in some wires, he hits a wall, he's just swinging it around, there's no precision to it.
We can talk generally about the wielding of weapons in this movie, because like across the board, shitty. Like no one knows how to.
Dennis Hopper, nobody.
The most proficient weapon user is the guy with the gun in the beginning, who's just like crushing signs
left and right.
Crushing
some mailboxes.
Yeah.
We'll get to the final standoff.
When
the guy's head gets sawed in half, it's awesome. His buddy looks over, he's like, and it's just going,
yeah.
It's so good. And then it pops off and it's spurting blood, and I'm like, oh man,
I am gonna
love this movie.
Buckle in.
And then almost nothing happens from then on. But there is some hilarious shit. So like we were saying, what is this weekend in Dallas that they're saying? Because the cops don't want this to get out because it's the biggest moneymaker weekend in Dallas.
This is,
and it's like a college party.
Yeah, this is,
but everybody looks 35 Texas, with Tom Selleck mustaches.
Yeah, well, there's some sort of other competition, I guess, that's going on. Maybe they're alumni. Maybe that's what's going on. But it's the Texas-Oklahoma football game, which is the biggest football game of the year for the two schools.
I didn't even catch that.
I think. Because I think they said Texas-Oklahoma rivalry a couple times,
okay.
And I would presume that that's what was going on. But it's not important to the plot, just important to, like, these people coming together.
Yeah.
And I guess they could have gotten together in any particular
way. And it's important as to why they're like, let's not mention the chainsaw. But then if that's their police work, it explains why for 14 years they've never caught the Sawyer family.
Yeah, because they're just like, well, meh.
Nah, it's just an accident. Looks like chainsaw marks. Well, you never know. When cars crash...
When you drive recklessly on the highway.
It's the railing. Could have cut it that way. Yeah. And it just doesn't make any sense.
Or are they using their phone? That's illegal in the future.
And when... exactly. When DJ... When Stretch shows up... And the whole thing about her not being able to hang up is hilarious.
It's like, so
hang up,
good.
Hang up!
It's so good.
Why won't they hang up?
Don't take calls on the radio if you can't hang up.
Zach, do you know if that's true that back in, like, the 80s you couldn't hang up on callers? That seems crazy to me. Fine.
I don't think that's right.
It can't be. Like, because otherwise there'd be so many...
Because you just disconnect, right? Like, because it
wasn't... FCC regulations, it would just be like... People could have called up and been like, fuck, shit, and they'd be like, oh, this was a kids program. Oh, no, we can't hang up.
Yeah, yeah. Some sort of failsafe.
I think it was
calls.
Just written in there for fun. When Stretch shows up to Dennis Hopper's hotel room, how did she find the hotel room, first off? Secondly, why is he so reluctant to help her?
This scene belonged, if this were an actual movie.
It doesn't make any sense.
This scene belonged right, like, before the last act,
mm-hmm.
for her to show up to want to help and him be like, no, I'm doing this on my own. And then she would show up to help anyway, and he would realize that he needed her help all along.
Yeah.
That's where this scene belongs.
But instead.
Not in the beginning, to have a very dramatic, no, I'm a lone wolf.
Yeah.
I run by myself. I've been tracking these people down for 14 years.
It's so weird. It's so...
It's so strange. And the other strange thing is the carpeting that goes nonstop from his hotel room into the hallway.
I love that you noticed that.
Yeah.
You noticed the weirdest shit in these movies. So we get introduced to TG, who's just this good old boy, and everybody's kind of hitting on Stretch.
I think it's LG, and the only
LG,
reason
that's
I...
That's right, LG.
Like, I'm bad with names, but
LG.
I was thinking to myself, life's good, like the brand Life's Good.
That's right. Yeah,
and
yeah,
I was like, was
yeah.
he... Was he... Maybe he started that brand.
Maybe he did.
Yeah.
So we already went into the prime meet, where Drayton is winning. Drayton, this kind of hillbilly... Drayton Sawyer, the patriarch of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre family... The Sawyers. He's won the chili cook-off, and all these yuppies in polo shirts and visors are just eating it and loving it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Drayton's driving off and celebrating. Can we play the Sawyers are number one, the song, the Sawyer song? Sawyer song? You see it up there? I see a mouse just click, click, clacking around. Sawyer. Drayton sings, anything like that?
Drayton did it again, number one, number one. The Sawyers are number one, number one.
That right there, Drayton is my biggest problem with this movie.
Sure.
And here's why. He does not seem like an actor. He does not seem like a human being.
Yeah.
And Tobe Hooper just allows him... to ramble incessantly, especially the last 40 minutes. If this movie was an hour and 20 minutes, it would be perfect. Like, I could go along for the ride and all the ridiculousness and all the silliness, but when it's an hour, and then they're in the tunnels for 40 minutes as he just, like, talks, and he starts getting in all this weird political shit.
He doesn't give you any opportunity to cut. That's why his, like, ramblings are, there are no periods in his sentences. They're just like, they run into one another, and you're like, like, you keep wanting to jump in and be like, okay, that's
okay.
It.
Okay.
He just keeps going. I do feel like him and the, like, brother with the metal head.
Yeah.
Maybe they thought they were in a different movie than the rest of the people that were in it.
I think so.
Who, like, had sort of a vibe, and then the two of them were like, we're gonna go as batshit as humanly possible. We're not gonna see, but be Bill a character.
Bill Moseley, I believe more as that, especially his intro is super creepy when he first shows up. Which we'll play. Let's play that clip. The Bill. Well, but let me set it up first. They, so she's at the radio station alone. LG leaves. Mm-hmm. And Bill Moseley shows up, and he's wearing a Sonny Bono wig over this straggly hair. He looks like a walking zombie, and yep. he has this coat hanger, or like a clothing hanger, that he keeps lighting and scratching something in his hair.
Yeah, he's lighting it with a match, or with a lighter.
It's super eerie. So yeah. Can we play the Bill Moseley intro?
Whoa! So this is Radioland, huh? The infinite turtle, the waves through the ether fuzz roll on forever. Roar! Can't close that. I know what you're thinking. This is weird, huh? But I can handle it. No?
Yeah, I think that was what I was thinking the entire movie is, I know what you're thinking, this is weird, hoping I can handle it. that should be the motto of this movie. I know what you're thinking, this is weird, hoping I can handle it. That scene, though, because I hadn't gotten so deep into the movie where I was, like, over some of the craziness, that scene was, I thought, was really creepy and fun, and he's itching, and you're like, what is that? He keeps... Then he'd, like, pick something off and eat it. It was really creepy.
It was really creepy because he's so, like, out there, yeah. and he's so outlandish, and, like, it seems like he might be capable of anything just because of that.
There's a danger in that scene.
Yeah, but also, like, he didn't seem like a real person to me. And I don't know if that's in the script or if that's in performance or if that is just in the dichotomy of, like, him and Stretch being in... Stretch?
Mm-hmm.
Being in the same scene together, and she's playing it really, like... real and really grounded, and he is definitely not.
She's the straight man of the whole movie.
Scene, like, there's a weird I don't know, there's just a difference in realities in the two mm-hmm. of them, and like, yeah, it gives it a little bit of a creep factor, but I just kept thinking, like, we did Ace Ventura a couple weeks ago, like, if Jim Carrey had done this role, his characters, as outlandish as they are, just seem grounded in something a little bit more, and I just was wanting that out of these people.
I disagree with you there. I think Drayton isn't grounded and is just rambly and weird and, yes. and like, but I think for the most part, Bill Moseley works for me, and mm-hmm. he's so bizarre and creepy. It's not until the end where Drayton and him just go on these, like, improv riff fests where I'm like, fuck! But this scene, especially when she's like, you gotta go, and then she says goodnight, and they're clearly spoofing. They even said this in the documentary, the 13-minute documentary on this, I should say. They were saying how they were kind of parodying and doing a satire of John Hughes, like, relationship movies. John Hughes movies, yeah. like Leatherface and Her, it's like a romantic thing they're trying to make fun of. And when she's saying goodnight to Bill Moseley's character, I wish I could remember his damn name, but... can we play the goodnight clip? Because they go back and forth like two people who've just met and had a wonderful time.
Good night.
Oh, good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
He goes full Mrs. Doubtfire at the end. Yeah. Good night.
Also, that scratching you hear was the coat hanger up against his yeah. metal head.
And the only part of this entire movie that made me jump was right after that moment when they were talking in front of the record room, and then Leatherface comes bounding out with the chainsaw. That yeah. freaked me the hell out.
Yeah.
But then he just swirls it and hits like a hits the ceiling fan, right. and then they go into the upstairs room where there's the scene where he's holding the chainsaw. It's off, it's not on, but he's holding the chainsaw and he's like putting it, rubbing it up her leg.
Wait,
putting it to her crotch.
Yeah, but before we get there, she runs up to the studio and closes this big, like, what is it, like a cement door?
That's an homage to the first movie when Leatherface does that and takes the bodies downstairs. So they were giving a little nod to the first one when she slams that door, which I dug that.
Okay, but she does that, and then he spends 5 minutes of real time, I'm guessing like 20 minutes of fake movie time, yeah. of just trying to saw through this door, and he makes zero progress, but he keeps trying.
And then,
he's just Kool-Aid Man through
the. Damn it, that was my job.
Yeah. Oh, did you?
I wrote that down too.
Yeah, he just like out of nowhere just bowls through the wooden wall.
She's sitting in there. She's literally sitting in the recording room, just going, "Go away! Go away! Leave me alone!" As if that's gonna work.
Yeah.
And then yeah, he just busts in like, "Oh yeah!" with the chainsaw going. I want him and the Kool-Aid Man to fight in a meme somewhere. Oh, I think that would be amazing. But yeah, he doesn't, and the funny thing is, he doesn't even like saw through the wall. Apparently the structural integrity of this building is so bad that he could just bust through.
Yeah.
Like the Kool-Aid Man. I literally wrote that.
Did you really?
You fucking stole it.
Nah, I did not. It's the only image there is, let's be honest.
And then that's exactly when he busts through, and then he gets caught up in the fan blades, and he's like, ooh! And then he goes and like I said, he's rubbing her, he's coming onto her with the chainsaw, and I just said, she just narrowly got chainsaw fucked, and her idea then is to follow Leatherface to his home?
Was he, yeah, okay, so.
Because that's what happens. This happens, he says, oh yeah, I killed her because he's starting to fall for her, right. And then him and Bill Mosley leave, and then her next idea is, well, I'm going to follow them at a not very safe distance to their creepy dungeon tunnel lair.
Right.
Which is good, because now the rest of the movie takes place in the tunnel lair.
Right. So
next 40 minutes.
A couple of things. One, it looked as if, like, it turned out he might have just been priming his chainsaw, but it looked like when he had the chainsaw touching her private parts,
mm-hmm.
that he was masturbating.
It looked like that. I'm pretty sure he was.
Like, that's what he was doing, right?
Yeah, I think he was jerking off.
Okay, so...
It looked like it.
So, yeah, so then she follows him. So I think I checked out for, like, 2 seconds in between, because I literally was like, how did she get here? Because they never...
She follows him, and then...
Do we see her following him?
Yeah, she's following him.
I just missed that part.
And then Lefty turns out he's following, too.
Right.
And so he used Stretch as bait. So Dennis Hopper's character used the DJ as bait. And then he shows up with his 3 chainsaws that he bought at this store, which, by the way, when he's sawing away at the wood in the store,
yeah.
The owner's like, ooh!
the owner might also be masturbating.
And it's clearly a stuntman. It doesn't look anything like Dennis Hopper when in the wide shots when he's chopping away. It's amazing.
I've never taken a chainsaw to a huge tree trunk before in that manner. But
just chopping like an axe.
He looks like kind of slow motion doing it. Like, he's not putting his whole back into it. And I feel like...
So then
he should have worked harder.
So then Dennis Hopper, aka Lefty, he's had 14 years to chase it, to find these people,
yes.
to avenge the murder of his brother, who was the character in the wheelchair in the first one. I can't remember his name, but it was his brother, and he's been trying to avenge this. And his big plan, first, I forgot. Sorry, we're going to go back to LG. Because LG walks in when Stretch is getting chainsaw fucked, and he sees Bill Mosley. And can we play the what the shit clip, please? You see it up there? What the shit?
What the shit?
Hey, lick my plate, you dog dick!
What the fuck you think you're doing here, you crazy looking little son of a bitch? Get out of here!
That escalated quickly.
Can we play that exchange one more time?
What the shit?
Hey, lick my plate, you dog dick!
What the fuck you think you're doing here, you crazy looking little son of a bitch? Get out of here!
Zach, help me out. Look up Bill Mosley's character's name in this movie, because it's driving me crazy. He's one of the Sawyer boys. Then he just... goes, Chop. Chop's his name. Chop, I think. He just takes a hammer and starts hitting him in the face.
Yeah.
It's at least 35 times.
Yes.
He's just hitting him and blood's pooling it with a fucking hammer.
Yeah.
And this will play out later in about 3 minutes when we explain why that's crazy.
Chop so Top Sawyer.
Chop Top. All right, Chop Top. So Chop Top's hitting him. Anyways, now fast forward, we're back. Dennis Hopper's big plan after, planning this out for 14 years, can we play the Dennis Hopper prayer? I believe it's the chainsaw prayer. This is him out front.
Oh, Lord, help me beat this stranger that walks beside me.
All right.
And takes away my strength. Lord, you show me the end. show me what I fear, so I don't fear it no more.
Okay. He's charging. You're like, what's he gonna do? But he's gonna keep screaming. Okay. Wait. He pauses. He pauses to open the gate. That's my favorite part. It's when he's screaming, pauses to open the gate, and then it's like, you've had 14 years. You're not gonna sneak up on these guys. You're clearly outnumbered.
A lot of issues with
this
plan.
They've murdered hundreds of people, and he's just like, fuck it, I'm guns blazing. And it's not like he has guns and can shoot them.
This is
the close range combat.
This is the other thing that I texted you. If I had spent 14 years plotting my revenge, I would not worry about the poetry of using the instrument that was used against my family.
No.
Especially if it's something so ineffective at less than 3 feet. Yeah. You know, I would have maybe gotten a gun and been like, I'm just going to take these guys out.
Yeah.
I wouldn't worry about using a chainsaw on them. Especially
crazy.
If you don't have experience, you're going into the most experienced chainsaw family's lair. And
well,
you're bringing a chainsaw?
That's negligible.
Well,
if they're the most experienced.
They are the most experienced. I got it. Like, it doesn't say good things about everyone else's experience, but they have clearly done the most chainsaw killing.
So then his plan is just to start sawing down the support beams in this tunnel. He has no proof that they're in this in these weird caves and tunnels.
Mm-mm.
He hasn't heard them. He hasn't found a location. He doesn't know if he can get out if he traps himself. And so we spend the next 30-plus minutes, Dennis Hopper running around on his own, sawing down support beams, while Stretch is stuck with Leatherface, and he's slicing up LG. He slices part of his skin off, slices his face off.
Yep.
And this part, as gross as it was, I thought it was awesome, because that's what you come to see.
This was the one awesome.
This part is so awesome. And you're watching it, and that's when you said, oh, no, he put the face on her. Because he pulls the face off, and he puts it on Stretch, and then he gets her up and starts doing a cutesy little, like, middle school dance with her.
Yeah.
And it's horrifying. And that's what you want when you come to a Texas Chainsaw movie. You want creepy shit like that. Again, you see where in Devil's Rejects, Rob Zombie definitely lifted and borrowed that idea.
Mm.
And we do that in Funhouse Massacre, where Rocco's wearing a person's face, but it's a clown face the whole time.
It's a lot of homage.
A lot of homages, you know? And but here's the thing that is the craziest to me, is that when Leatherface leaves, he hides Stretch, he leaves her in there, he ties her up so she can't get out, and then LG... who apparently is just the strongest man alive, or has, like, is Superman. Because he gets up, has no skin right here, his rib cage is exposed, his stomach muscles, no face!
Yeah.
And he basically, the only purpose, him coming back to life after 75 hits to the brain and his skin being shaved off, is to cut her loose and then die immediately.
Yep.
That's it.
Well, he did it. It was a success.
But as he sits up, he says to her, don't be scared. In the scariest way possible. Can we play the Don't Be Scared, Darling clip?
Darling, don't be scared, darling.
Is that it? Is that all that happened? Can we play that one more time?
Darling, don't be scared, darling.
It's not very convincing.
Oh, God, everything about that clip is frightening to so many degrees.
Yeah.
He's saying it as he's like blood just oozing off of his face. Literally, he just serves the purpose to free her and then immediately die.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so weird. Oh, what's that?
Oh, boy.
What's happening?
Darling, don't be scared, darling.
Very scared, Zach. And don't call me darling.
Zach only refers to Ben as darling.
So then we find out that there's... So then Stretch is trying to sneak around, and her only way apparently out is to shimmy right by all the Sawyer family.
Yeah.
And Papa Sawyer, Drayton, sees her, and can we play the booger clip?
Some kind of crazy booger just skits through here.
Booger? How big?
Big crazy booger.
There's no way that was scripted. There's no way. A studio goes... Yep. That's what he should say right there.
I'm speechless.
Big crazy booger.
I don't really know, like.
I've done that before with my nephew.
Yeah.
When I'm trying to clean out his nose and I'm trying to talk in like little kid talk. I'm like, come on, let me get that booger, and he's like, no. I'm like, come on, big crazy booger. Yeah. I don't even want to play the whole sound clip again. I just did it for you.
Sorry.
It's so then they bring Grandpa back, who was in the first movie. Mm-hmm. Grandpa's like 134 years old or something.
Seemingly.
He has a strict liquid diet. He looks terrifying. And this scene goes on forever, this dinner table scene where she's tied up. They clonk her over the head. She's tied up and screaming. It's an homage to the first movie where the girl is sitting there tied up screaming, and they show like 700 close-ups of human bones in the room. If you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about. And the scene goes on forever. And then Dennis Hopper jumps down with his three chainsaws. Again, no sneak attack, no sneak up, Rev. By the way, chainsaws are the epitome of not stealth weapons.
Yeah. Also, I think it would have been really funny if his chainsaws had run out of gas while he was
by the time he
while he was cutting down all the pillars in the the cavern.
That he jumps. Did you like how he jumps down like a superhero? It's like epic shot. And then he looks to the Sawyer family and he says, "You shouldn't have been doing this, boys. Can you play the 'You shouldn't do this, boys' clip?"
Boys, you never should have been doing this.
Now, this brings up some dark stuff for me.
Sure.
Because my family was very prude. They weren't really, there's no sex talk, nothing like that. Mm. And I bought some Playboys, and let's just say I was caught mid-act with those Playboys. And my dad just looked at me and he said,
"Boys, you never should have been doing this."
Needless to say, that gave me a complex.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
for the rest of my life.
While we were waiting for
I just
you
hear that voice every time now. "You never should have been doing this."
Oh, you're so right.
I'm
you're
sorry.
So right.
You need I'm just priming the chainsaw. Yeah. Just priming the chainsaw.
While we were waiting for you to get here today.
like usual.
I told Zach, I was like, "So, Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, we're doing it." And he just, like, gave me a look and shook his head, and he goes,
"Boys, you never should have been doing this."
That's the overall theme for this show.
You might be right.
But sometimes the movies that are the most infuriating to watch are the most fun to talk about.
Yeah, that's true.
Like I said, before people, because I'm sure there's diehard fans of this, I really enjoyed about 60, now that I'm thinking about it, it's more like 60. And then, because the first hour, I thought was pretty hilarious and ridiculous shit was going on. My problem is when they're stuck in a tunnel for 40 minutes, and it's just Dennis Hopper chainsawing beams, and then the most hilariously non-epic chainsaw fight between him and Leatherface, as they basically just do what I did in like my college stage fighting class, where it's like, "Ha! Ha! Ha! Ha!" and just back and forth. But then Paw Drayton Sawyer, he gets chainsawed through the table into the ass. His ass gets chainsawed, and he's a little upset about it at first, but then he finds a silver lining, as any Sawyer does. Can we play the "Took Care of My Hems" clip, please?
"Small businessman always, always, always gets it in the ass. Sure took care of my hams. Saved a trip to the hospital."
That clip right there sums up everything you're getting yourself into with this movie.
Yeah, tell me what he just said. I have no idea.
He said, "If small businessman," because the last 40 minutes of the movie also is just Drayton off camera yelling about how corporations, nobody has to pay taxes. It's really weird. Like, it's really out of place. And how, like, his whole business is of serving people. His whole Soylent Green Chili thing going on is really just getting screwed over by the corporate America. And small businessman always gets... And it's such an overt metaphor that he gets chainsawed in the asshole. And then he says, "Small businessman gets it in the ass." And then he pauses, smiles, and goes, "Sure took care of my hems, though. Saves me a trip to the hospital. Yeah, that chainsaw took care of your hemorrhoids, but it probably caused a lot more damage."
I would think so.
You're going to definitely need a donut to sit on for the rest of your life.
Maybe an ice pack right away. Just something like that would do you good.
And then he's just like, "Well, I guess I got to end this all." He grabs one of the corpses from the table that happens to have a grenade on its body.
Yep.
On its dead person.
Yep.
Don't know why.
Because it's convenient.
Pulls the pin, Leatherface, this is one of my other favorite moments. Dennis Hopper takes his big chainsaw, shoves it through Leatherface's stomach, through his backside. Mm-hmm. It's all the way through Leatherface's. He's just chainsawing away. And Dennis Hopper yells, "Aah!" Similar to what he yelled on his entrance, right as Drayton drops the grenade. Seemingly blows everybody up in the room.
So, yeah.
Because Chop Top and Stretch are... She's
chasing up a mountain.
Up a mountain,
I guess.
Up what looks like a giant mini golf. Creation.
Uh-huh.
So they're apparently dead off camera.
Yeah.
Never come back to Lefty. But before that, he calls Stretch sister, which is really confusing.
Strange.
But I heard in the original script they realized that they were related somehow, and they cut all of that out. Again, something that would have been necessary.
Let's keep the important parts in. Just in the future.
Let's keep character relationships in movies, please.
Yeah.
Let's not Batman v Superman theatrical cut it, all right? You know, because the ultimate cut is awesome if you haven't seen it. I mean, it's good. It's not awesome, but it's good. Anyways, that was off track. But so Stretch is being chased up this giant thing. She's kicking Chop Top. She gets up to the top. There's a chainsaw like a Deus Ex Machina moment where there's this chainsaw sitting on Grandma,
mm-hmm.
who's the dead corpse in the first movie that now is sitting up there. She grabs it from her, and Chop Top freaks out and is like, "You killed Grandma! This family's fucked more than you can imagine." Because they think that this corpse is... Okay, we're starting to wrap it up, I know. She's trying to rev the chainsaw as he's... You were saying earlier, he's super ineffective with his knife.
Yeah.
He's slashing her, but nothing really deep.
Nothing's going on. Well, first, just to prove how crazy he is, he slices his throat over and over and over again. And then, when she's on the ground trying to get the chainsaw going, you're right, he's just slashing her back with this knife instead of stabbing her with the knife, which would have been a little more effective. So he's just, like, whimsical with it. Just like, ooh, this is fun. Like a painter painting his masterpiece.
What's the painter from the 80s? With the pretty fluffy clouds.
Oh boy.
Bob Ross. Yeah,
there it is.
Bob Ross's her back with a knife.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she turns around, saws him up the stomach, it splits open, and he goes falling down this tunnel, which there's a deleted scene where the tunnel then blows up for no reason and his clothing comes flying out.
That makes sense. Is that the grenade? The grenade blowing up?
Maybe it blew up again. I don't know. Yeah.
There's another corpse holding a grenade that went off when the first grenade went off.
And then the last shot of this movie is Stretch holding the chainsaw up on this mini golf mountain, swirling it around, kind of sexy, where she's like, "Ah, can we play the scream, the final scream, and I'll do the chainsaw for you?" Final scream clip, Zach. That's pretty much what happens.
That's what it is.
And then it's just... We gotta wrap up. We're gonna leave you on that.
I do have some lingering questions that I want all of you to think about.
Please.
The cavern that they live in, how is that financed?
Who knows?
That was like an emptied out Costco. That's how big it was.
It was amazing.
And apparently they lived under there, and just on the funds of chili, I guess.
Hey, small businessman.
I guess so.
We gotta wrap up now. Another show coming in the studio. But I hope you've enjoyed this. If you are a diehard fan of this movie, again, I laughed my ass off for 60% of it, and 40% of it I wanted to pull my hair out. But I did enjoy it. I do see the appeal to this. I think it's definitely a guilty movie pleasure. Jesse, where can they find you?
You can find me at Too Much Jesse on Twitter. You can find me promlosers.com coming soon. I will be at Flappers in Burbank this Friday, 7:30 p.m. at the Yoohoo Room and 86 Charles Podcast.
All right, I'm at the Ben Begley. At Guilty Movie Guys is our Twitter page here. And also, Funhouse Massacre, I mentioned this, it's now on Showtime and Showtime Anytime and Showtime On Demand. So if you have Showtime, it's free. Go check it out. It's also at Redbox. Tell me what you think of it. At Funhouse Mass is the Twitter handle. Tweet me if you see it. I'll send you a signed poster to the first person who tweets me a photo of them watching it on Showtime. And until next time, what is your guilty movie pleasure?
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.